Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading from John chapter 8. Jesus is being challenged here by some of his religious opponents. They do not believe that Jesus is anything more than just a sorely mistaken human being, and that to confess that Jesus is anything more than that would be absolute blasphemy. And yet, this passage where Jesus claims unity with the Father, and other passages like it, they help us to see that when the Trinity works together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity works for our good. By confessing the Trinity, we understand something more about how God has saved each and every one of us. And so this doctrine of the Trinity is very important. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, since today is Father's Day, I thought I could begin this morning by sharing with you a few dad jokes. Okay? You all know what a dad joke is, right? According to Wikipedia, which of course is the most reliable source on the internet there is, a dad joke is a short joke, typically a pun, stereotypically told by fathers among family, either with sincere humorous intent or to intentionally provoke a negative reaction. Right? So dad jokes are the ones that you are supposed to groan, you are supposed to roll your eyes whenever you hear them, right? So, for example, what do you call a fake noodle? What do you call a fake noodle? An impasta. Right, okay. What do you call cheese that isn't yours? Nacho cheese. Right? Okay. All right, fine. You want to hear a joke about some paper? Oh, never mind. That joke is terrible. Classic, right? Ugh, groan. Right? Now, see, I've found that ever since I became a dad, that somehow these, like, dad jokes just kind of pour out of me, too. There's, like, something that is hidden within our DNA that just seems to come out when you are a dad. And I remember my dad telling those awful jokes, too. I remember when my dad was a coach for our Little League baseball team. I remember sitting in the dugout, and, you know, there were times when me and the other kids, we didn't always listen to him very well. And so he would always predictably say the same joke. He would say, "I don't like to repeat myself. I don't like to repeat myself. I don't like to repeat myself." And you're like, "Oh, Dad, that's so embarrassing," right? But then, you know, like, I would say, "Hey, Dad, I'm hungry." And he would say, "Hey, hungry, I'm Dad." And you know what? I'm not ashamed to say I've used that exact same joke with Zoe probably a million times. So, like I said, it's inevitable, right? It's within us. We can't help it. I might as well just apologize to Zach now. When he grows up and has kids of his own, he's going to be telling these bad jokes too. It's just part of who we are as dads. And today is also Trinity Sunday, and so that's why we just got to speak together the longest of our three creeds, the Athanasian Creed, which really does a great job of describing the whole mystery of the Trinity, and then toward the end, describing how it works, that Jesus is true God and true man. And you know, none of these words really help us in our limited human reason to be able to truly understand how it can work, right? But at least we know that when we confess these words, we're confessing the things that the Bible teaches. That God is one God in three persons, and these three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are co-equal. And I know that for some of us, you know, the Athanasian Creed can kind of feel like a dad joke. Right? I mean, it's so predictable that when we come to church on Trinity Sunday, we're going to have to turn to page 319, and we're going to have to say this long Athanasian Creed. And maybe you look and you see that in the bulletin, and you roll your eyes, and you groan, because it's so repetitive, and it's so much longer than the Apostles' Creed or the Nicene Creed, right? But you know, it's also like a dad joke in a good way. The Athanasian Creed is like a dad joke in the sense that it's handed down from generation to generation. It's actually part of our DNA as a church. It's inevitable that when we speak these words, we end up speaking the truth about God. The truth that has been handed down from Christian generation to generation for hundreds and hundreds of years. This is a good thing. So I say, bring on the eye rolls. Bring on the groans, right? We can take it as a church. It's not a big deal. And speaking of eye rolls and groans, look again at this gospel passage from John chapter 8. Because here in this text, Jesus is having a conversation with some of his religious opponents, these Jewish religious leaders. That conversation that Jesus is having here is definitely leading to some groaning. And I don't mean in kind of like a nice, funny way, right? Like these are adversarial kinds of groans. In fact, conversation probably isn't the right word to describe what's going on here. This is a full-on debate. This is an argument that Jesus is having with these men. You know, you can't help but just smile at the way that Jesus handles these guys. You know, they are just, they think they're so smart. They think they're so pious and so holy. They think that Jesus is just a crazy guy, right? They think that he is demon-possessed. They mention that twice in this passage. They think Jesus has a demon. And Jesus doesn't hold back at all from the things that he says. Even though he's facing opposition, he doesn't hold back the truth, right? He says things that he knows are going to get these men mad at him, but it doesn't matter. He just goes ahead and says them anyway. And it's all because really Jesus is speaking the same exact truth that God has always spoken to his people since the days before creation even became into existence, right? So that's what we heard in our Old Testament reading today from Proverbs, that wisdom was there with God the Father before this world was even created. That Jesus, as the Word of God, was alongside God the Father as a great workman, as a partner, right? The Father and the Son working together to create everything that exists. And so, you know, you have the fact that it's inevitable, right? It's inevitable for dads to tell the same bad jokes they were told as a kid. It's inevitable for the church to confess the same things about God that we have confessed for generations. And an even more important way, it's inevitable that God the Son, Jesus Christ, is going to speak the same words that God the Father speaks. Because the reason why these words are one and the same is because God is all one and the same. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together to bring that same message into the world at all times. And part of that message is described when Jesus says in verse 51, "If anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Now, in a world like ours that is filled with death and decay, at every single turn, every single day of our lives, we deal with the effects of death. And so it seems like, you know, average human beings would not really be able to understand words like this, right? And that there might be a lot of eye rolling and a lot of groaning going on because this kind of just seems like a really bad joke. What do you mean you can't see death? Everybody sees death. We all see death, right? And so the Jews respond in verse 53 by saying, "Who do you make yourself out to be?" They can't believe some of the amazingly bold statements coming out of our Lord and Savior's mouth here. And as Jesus points out to them a couple verses later in verse 55, the reason why they can't believe it is because, as it turns out, they don't even really believe in God. I mean, they think they do, don't get me wrong, but one of the mysteries of the Trinity is that in order to really know who God the Father is, you have to know who God the Son is. And so their refusal to acknowledge who Jesus really is keeps them from seeing, in the end, who God really is. And the big moment that proves this is true is right at the end of the passage, right? So You know, dad jokes aren't the only things that fathers pass down to their children. Almost all people, I realize not in literally every case, but almost all people receive, when they're a child, they receive their last name from their father, right? And so you think about God the Father's name. God the Father's name, the way he was known, going all the way back to the days of Moses in the burning bush, I am who I am. Right? God is the God who was and who is to come. His name is Yahweh. And Jesus, in this passage, takes that name and claims it for himself. He says in verse 58, before Abraham was, I am. Talk about eye rolls and groans. I mean, the Jews who hear Jesus say this, they are so deeply offended by these words, they pick up stones. They're ready to stone him to death right then and there. But of course, we know that it was not yet Jesus' time. His time had not yet come, and so he is able to escape from them in this passage. Now, the truth is, if we're all being honest, there are plenty of times when we feel some of the eye rolls and the groans when it comes to what God's word has to say to us. There are times when we are kind of like those Jews in this passage. And that's because of our sinful nature, right? We have this sin that lives within us that constantly wants to separate us from Christ's word. And not only that, but we are also surrounded with influences all around us that are also constantly trying to draw us away from what God has revealed to us in his word. And you know what? There are plenty of times when we wish that that wasn't true. We wish the influences around us were in line with God's word, because then that would mean as Christians, we would fit in better in our culture. I don't know how many of you have been feeling like maybe you're not fitting in so well in our culture this month. The month of June, I'm sure many of you have noticed, is considered Pride Month in this country. And I'm not going to dwell too much on this, but you know, we all have people in our families, close friends that identify somewhere in that LGBTQ, you know, spectrum. These are people that we love. These are people that we care about deeply, and yet we know what God's word says. We know that God has revealed very clearly that when he designed sexuality, he designed it to be expressed between man and woman in monogamous marriage for life. That anything outside of that design is by nature outside of God's will for humanity. It's by nature, by definition, sinful. And yet, we don't want to have any of our loved ones think that we hate them, because we don't hate them. And so we read God's word and what God's word has to say on this issue, and here come the eye rolls. Here come the groans. Because we wish in our sinful nature that it was maybe a different way. But you know, having Jesus' word as our authority in our lives, it creates a situation where, you know, things are difficult for us. Things are dangerous. Things are costly. Things are messy. Whatever the word is you want to use. And so we don't like that. And because of that, yeah, I would say in some ways we are kind of like the Jews that are in this text, right? The ones who they're hearing God's word right in front of them, but they don't really want to believe it. They just kind of roll their eyes. They kind of groan. But you know what? In even more important ways, we are not like those in this text. Because even though we share the same sinful nature that they had, even though we are tempted sometimes to go away from what God's word reveals to us, we know who God is. You and I actually know God. And it's not because we're smarter than they were. It's not because God loves us more than he loved them. It's because God has worked within the Trinity to bring us that gift of faith. It's actually because of this work that we just confessed in the Athanasian Creed. It's because of this work that we celebrate every year, once a year on Trinity Sunday. It's because of these things. The Trinity and the doctrine of the Trinity is not just some abstract concept that's intended to make us wrinkle our brains when we think about it too hard. The doctrine of the Trinity is practical. It gives us actual hope. It gives us hope because we learn that the Father loved us so much that he sent his Son to come into this world, to take on human flesh, to die on the cross, to save us from our sin. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit has worked to preach this good news right into our ears, and that God is present in things like baptism and communion to create faith and to strengthen our faith so that we would not be slaves to our sinful nature forever and ever. And that's why we give thanks for the Trinity, not just today, but every day. And that's why it's so wonderful that our ancestors in this congregation named this congregation Trinity 152 years ago. And that's why we're going to keep confessing the Athanasian Creed every single year at this time, even if it's hard for us to understand how it all works, even if we don't like standing that long while we say it, even if it makes the service last a couple more minutes, because these words are good news. These words are the words of the gospel. They are the words of the universal Christian faith, and just like the creed says at the end, whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. The world is going to continue to roll its eyes and groan at God and at us and consider everything that we do here in this ministry to be just one bad joke. But we know the Father because we know the Son. And we have been given that power through the work of the Holy Spirit. Three in one. The Trinity in unity and the unity in Trinity working together so that you and I will never taste death. In the name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.